Welcome to the Lanesboro Radio Company's presentation of Over the Back Fence, a Commonweal Theater Company community program brought to you from the air-conditioned Commonweal Theater in beautiful downtown Lanesboro. We're coming to you live over KFIO Preston 1060 AM and Chatfield 103.1 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Scott Dixon. Have you blocked out this past week? Feeling locked out of your own front porch? Well, pull up a curb because it's the Over the Back Fence salute to neighbors. Borrowing a cup of sugar from us tonight will be special musical guest Charlie Warner, music and laughs from the Over the Back Fence gang, and a presentation from the Commonweal Radio Theater of the Air. All the usual suspects are here, Forrest Musselman, Bonnie Hulsing, Carolyn Fries, and all the Over the Back Fence gang. And will you please welcome my co-host with the most, Token Damon Prestaman. Over the Back Fence is underwritten by Houston Dental Clinic, where your smile makes them happiest, and sponsored by Pedal Pushers Cafe,
Coffee Street Fitness,
The Cottage House Inn,
Rhino's Pizza and Sub Shop,
Los Gables,
Stone Mill Suites,
Olivia's Attic,
Lanesboro Local Marketplace,
Mannion and Wheelock Attorneys,
The Little River General Store,
Riverside on the Root Restaurant,
The Lanesboro Lions Club,
Preston Apple and Berry Farm,
The Rochester Post Bulletin,
and Associated Bank of Lanesboro! Bringing tonight's show to you is the Over the Back Fence gang. Executive producer, Captain Bob Petrillo.
Assistant executive producer, glamorous, Glenn Jensen.
His personal assistant, marvelous, Maddie Haugen.
Artistic director, stellar, Stella Burt. Internet guru, jazzy, Jason Underfeth.
Radio show protege, maximum, Michael Van Skoik. Tim Seiler and Fred Rogers at the box office. Damon, our 16th season of Over the Back Fence and the Neighbor Show, and that really kind of harkens back to the very core, the origin, the seed, the acorn, if you will, of the Over the Back Fence radio show.
It certainly does. You know, it's kind of that Over the Back Fence.
Yeah, it's a couple of guys sitting and chatting on a table, and then lo and behold, some strangers walk by and start singing. That happens all the time here in Lanesboro.
It does. Frequently.
Frequently. It's a magical hamlet. But would you please welcome the Over the Back Fence gang.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. Would you be mine? A neighborly day for a beauty world. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, won't you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
The Over the Back Fence gang. From Mr. Neighborhood himself, Fred Rogers. And now we like to start off our shows with actually one of our favorite parts of Over the Back Fence, where we get to chat with one of the wonderful sponsors who helps to make all of this fun and craziness possible week after week for what has now been 16 years of Over the Back Fence. And we haven't had this wonderful sponsor for 16 years, but only because they weren't around for 16 years. But they've been around for 10 years, celebrating a fabulous anniversary. And we're here to talk with Colleen from Stone Mill Suites. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Scott. So great to be back this year, and indeed, we are beginning our 10 years in business.
Wonderful.
This year.
It seems like that, you know, the Stone Mill Suites just down, literally down the block. Not even down the street. You're our neighbor.
Right.
Over there.
Four doors down.
Has been there for 10, going on 10 years now, starting off on the 10th year. That's fabulous. And thank you again just for your support of Over the Back Fence and helping to make this show possible. And you've been a wonderful anchor there, I think, for the town, for the downtown at the end of the street. And this is the week. This is not only this year we're going into 10 years of operation, but it's this week that this happened.
It is. We actually opened our doors on July 13th of 2001, which happened to be Friday, July 13th. Now, some people think that that's a pretty scary thing to do, but why not jump right on in? And obviously, it's still there.
It's been very daring. Well, just before we jump into the anniversary celebrations, tell people a little bit about the Stone Mill Suites and what you have, what sets you apart from some of the other bed and breakfasts in town.
Absolutely. Well, Stone Mill Suites is in a historic building built in 1885. The last use for this building was for feed storage. The feed was brought into the mill and augured next door into the building that you now see with feed mill, just four doors down on the top. And all of the rooms at Stone Mill are themed, and they're themed based on something in the area or a past use of the building. So, for instance, it was an egg and poultry processing facility for 30 years, and so we have a whole level dedicated to chickens and eggs.
and that room is not foul at all. It's actually a very nice place to stay, as I understand.
It actually is one of the favorites, the Crate Jacuzzi Suite.
And what are some of the other themes that you have in there?
We have a farm loft suite, a grain room, a garden, bicycle, boat, Amish. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I'm glad you weren't located in a slaughterhouse then. That was, especially when you're opening the doors on Friday the 13th. Somehow there's a Hollywood movie all in that. So this week,
Tuesday, July 13th. That's right. We are celebrating by having kind of a block party from 5:30 to 7:30, and everyone in the area is welcome to come. We'll be having drinks and a bruschetta and dip bar. There will be free in tours that night. Live local talent. The Rhubarb Sisters will be singing. The some of our employees will be performing. Abby and Sam Stocker, who are actually in the audience over there tonight with us, as well as the Tom Schramm Band. And he actually is bringing in some people that I didn't even know played instruments, like Dave Herenstein, John Goucher, and Walter Bradley. So we're looking very forward to having that local talent with us.
And that's happening Tuesday about 5:30.
About 5:30.
Start, okay.
Yep. And also on Tuesday, I finally am getting a sign for my building.
A sign?
10 years.
10 years.
No sign on the building.
Nobody knew what it was.
No.
They thought it was a feed mill.
Right.
Those were the words.
Right. So at 6:15, we're going to be unveiling our new sign. And also that night, the Riverside on the restaurant actually opened 3 days after we did. Mm-hmm. They decided to wait the weekend and then come into the next busy weekend. So they opened on Monday while we opened on Friday. But that evening from 4 until 9 o'clock, they will be providing our special anniversary dessert for free with a meal purchase. So please join us and have dinner at the Riverside on the Root that evening.
Sounds like a wonderful treat, a wonderful combination. And you've also brought some treats for our studio audience, as I understand.
I have brought some treats.
What do you have here?
Well, I have a couple of gift certificates,
uh-huh,
which I like to do when I come to the Over the Back Fence.
We'd like
all
to
neighbors
have you
here,
do it, so yes.
We're all neighbors here. So the first one is going to go to I thought 5 + 5 = 10 years, so the fifth row up, the fifth person in.
All right, so our center section, the fifth row from the front, and the fifth seat in from the right-hand side as you're facing the stage. So that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So who's sitting in that seat? Raise your hand. Sitting in that magical fifth seat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it's the lady there in the sort of like a floral Hawaiian print blouse there. Congratulations, Damon is on his way up with your gift certificate. Congratulations, and then you have another gift certificate to give out.
And our next gift certificate is for someone that is currently staying at Stone Mill.
All right,
anybody
so
in the
staying
audience
at the Stone Mill Suites,
tonight?
Would you raise your hand? And we're coming up goose eggs on that one.
Uh-oh. Anybody ever stayed at Stone Mill?
Anyone who's ever stayed at There we go. We have some some veterans. And well, you know, I'm going to go by this. I think there was some enthusiastic and rather quick reflexes from the couple in the very back row of the section there. So we'll hand off the gift certificate there. Congratulations. And Colleen, thank you again so much for not only for your support of Over the Back Fence. Congratulations to Stone Mill Suites, our wonderful neighbors at the end of the block here in Lanesboro. And you know, your business down there has just been a wonderful addition to the crown jewel that is downtown Lanesboro. So thank you very much.
Thank you
and
so
congratulations,
much for having
me. Colleen Mortimer, Stone Mill Suites. And now, would you please welcome to our stage our special youth musical guests for this week, Emily and Molly Sir.
Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. A toot, a toot, a toot to the attitude. He blows an A to the bar in boogie rhythm. Can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar are playing with him. He makes the company jump when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He was some boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. And when he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a boobie. And when he plays, he makes the company jump A to the bar. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Toot 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 liada toot toot. He blows it A to the bar. He can't blow a note if the bass and guitar isn't with him. And the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Puts the boys to sleep with boogie every night and wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and stamp their feet because they know how he plays when someone gives him a beat. He really breaks it up when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Da 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 da. And the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
Emily and Molly Sir on Over the Back Fence. And for the benefit of those of you who are listening at home, it's as if two-thirds of the Andrews sisters have joined us here on stage, dressed in full regalia uniform for the event. Emily and Molly, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So nice to have you here. And you are, now, I couldn't help but notice that you had the same last name, so I was just checking to see if there was a relation or if that was just a coincidence.
Oh, we're sisters.
You're sisters. And who's older?
I am.
You're older. Yeah. Okay. So, well, yeah, that, you know, you do seem a little more poised and, you know, controlled there. So that makes good sense. But but if you know, relationships between, you know, sisters are the same as like between me and my brother, will actually be, you know, your younger sister who ends up being more successful in life. So, you know. But you have the poise. So, you know, somehow it balances itself out. And what grade are you headed into the fall?
I'll be a freshman in college,
and I'll be a junior in high school.
Junior high school, and where? And I'm going to get this wrong, so I'm just going to do this ahead of time. But I believe Emily. Yes. Okay, Emily. Where are you going to high school?
Crestwood High School.
Cresco High School in Cresco, Iowa. And then Molly, where are you going off to college?
Northwestern College in St. Paul.
Wonderful. And you will be studying?
Kinesiology.
Kinesiology. Which has not a lot to do with singing, I think. So how long have you been singing?
Ever since we could sing. We started singing like at nursing homes with my dad, and then we've like performed for 4-H and the state fair and stuff. So
wonderful. But you're breaking up the act because you're headed off to St. Paul.
Yeah.
So it is like the Andrews Sisters then. is this something you'd like to music something you'd like to continue doing and see as a part of your future?
Yeah. I'm playing basketball at college, so I can't do music at the same time, but we'd like to.
You can, but you get out of breath pretty easily while you're going down the court. Anyway. All right. Well, Emily and Molly, thank you again. Sounded wonderful. Emily and Molly, sir, on Over the Back Fence. And now, our poet laureate for this week is Bonnie Hulsing. Welcome, Bonnie.
Thank you.
What do you have for us today?
Well, I have some poems about neighbors. We have good neighbors and bad neighbors. We have clean neighbors and dirty neighbors. And the first poem is called Dirty Neighbors. It's from a collection of children's poetry written by children. And this is by a boy named Ed. I have some dirty neighbors, soot from head to toe. The dad smells kind of funny. I think his name is Joe. He has 10 kids, a wife too, each with a name. My favorite is Sue. I have some dirty neighbors, not like you and me. They pile high their garbage as far as I can see. They all have dirty faces, never been washed once. House a wreck and falling down, looking like a dunce. I have some dirty neighbors. They don't own a car. The city bus works just fine, because they don't travel far. I'd really like to know them. Joe could be my friend. Oh, but then I'd have to hug him, and the smell would never end. I have some dirty neighbors. Their house is at a lean. Or maybe it's my glasses. I don't think they're clean.
Dirty neighbors.
Thank you. The second one is from Bob's Merrill, seventh reader, from Topeka, Kansas, 1926. It's by Willard Waddles, and it's called Good Neighbors. Many a man hath gold to guard, and house to keep him warm, and ale to drink, and bread to eat, and strong and ready arm. But many a man, when time is come to rest him from his labors, has not so rich a store as I, who boast me of good neighbors. There's many a lad would scale the hills and sail the fickle ocean and touching keels at every quay live ever in commotion. But what a man may buy with sweat or carve with hearty saber, he may not own so sure as I who have a jovial neighbor. Oh, some would cram a granary with oats and corn and barley, and some would dance a round or two with every fiddlin' Charlie. I like the time when malt is ripe and Jenny brings the tabers, but mostly I like every day because I have good neighbors.
Bonnie Hulsing on Over the Back Fence, this week's Poet Laureate. All right, Damon. Well, let me see if I can get the news ticker was a little cranky last week.
It really was. It wasn't working well.
Let me see if I can get it cranked up here. Ready, Stella?
And now it's time for news and notes.
Somebody pulled the plug on the sounder.
Exactly.
Well, here's what you have to
long enough.
Here's what you have to look forward to in the Post Bulletin, Southeast Minnesota's biggest and best newspaper. Consider this your sneak peek. If you're a fan of state and county fairs, you'll want to check out the travel section in this weekend's paper. You can clip and save the list of area state fairs and all the attractions there. Plus, have a look at the feature on the Olmsted County Fair, which is just a few weeks off. Chester Woods Park, just east of Rochester, is one of the most popular places in the area to cool off. In the weekend paper, there's a big feature on why that is. On the front page, you'll read about snowbirds from our area who have property down along the Gulf Coast. And they have little tar balls washing up on the beach now. There's more people than you might imagine from around here who have some winter homes down there. Read the story, and you might find some friends who will host you for a weekend sometime next January.
when they're still cleaning up, I imagine.
That's right. I'm sure they'll take you up. And some of you may remember the Hormel girls. They're the women who put Spam on the map way back when. The Hormel girls are part of the legend and lore of our area, and the Post Bulletin has a feature on the girls in Thursday's paper.
All this, plus Harley Flathers, local news from Fillmore County and all over the area, plus bundles of coupons for just 50 cents a day. It's hard to find a better deal. To get the paper at home, call 1-800-562-1758.
News and notes on Over the Back Fence, brought to you by the Rochester Post Bulletin. And now will you please welcome to the stage our special musical guest for this week, Charlie Warner.
Good evening. Stella told me that tonight's theme was Neighbors. I think this is the fifth or sixth time I've played on the radio show, and every time she gives me a different theme, I try to come up with something. I was actually going to play Mr. Rogers, but they already did that one, so I had to change channels real quick. No, just kidding. First song I'm going to do is got something about Neighbors, a little bit. It's a song that John Mellencamp made famous quite a while ago, so we'll start out with that. Just 1 second, please. Holy cow.
We make technical adjustments live. This is live, ladies and gentlemen, not recorded.
Yes, it definitely
which
is.
Which is why...
Actually, the string that was out of tune, I broke when we were having a sound check.
He was playing so hot. You everyone should have been here for that. It was just...
That's a little better. Well, there's a black man with a black cat living in a black neighborhood. He's got a interstate running through his front yard, you know. He thinks he's got it so good, so good. And there's a woman in the kitchen cleaning up the evening slop. He says, hey, darling, I can remember when you could stop a clock. Ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America? Something to see, baby. Ain't that America? Home of the free. Little pink houses for you and me. And there's a young boy in a t-shirt listening to Rock Roll Station. He's got a greasy hair and a greasy smile. He says, this must be my destination. Oh yeah, 'cause they told me when I was younger, boy, you gonna be president. And just like all those old crazy dreams, this one kind of came and went. Ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America? Something to see, baby. Ain't that America? Home of the free. Little pink houses for you and me.
For you and me.
Thank you.
Charlie Werner on Over the Back Fence. So, Charlie, you one of those with that vacation home down in the Gulf of Mexico that, you know, they'll be talking about in the Rochester Post Bulletin?
I wish I was, but my little vacation home is still located in the big town of Boomer, also known as Canton, Minnesota.
And really a big newspaper publisher like yourself? You know, it doesn't have a...
Well, I was a newspaper publisher. I used to own the Lanesboro Leader back in the 80s and also the Harmony paper. But now I decided that it's easier to work for somebody else and let them worry about all that stuff. And so I work over at Caledonia. I'm the editor of the newspaper over there.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. That keeps you busy, I imagine, in between your gigs.
Yes, it does. And I stay pretty busy playing. I do an awful lot of... the summer music festivals in the area, music in the parks and some of the different communities around here. And I also am a regular at Riverside of the Root. And as we all heard, they're having their 10th anniversary this week as well.
Yeah, and you're going to be one of the guests because you were there at the beginning, as they say.
I was one of the first musicians to ever play there, yes.
So wonderful.
And they have music Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings, and I'm going to be playing there on Thursday night.
All right. So, yeah, you come by through downtown Lanesboro, and it's just going to be a musical extravaganza this week between everything wonderful happening at Stone Mill Suites and Riverside on the route. And how's that, you know, I just got to ask, because Hal's going to ask me to make sure that I ask you, how that CD's coming along that you've been working on for, these many years?
I'm still working on it. It's a work in progress.
All right. Well, now that we got the bases covered, how about a little bit more music? Does that sound like a good idea?
Well, I'm going to do a tune right now. It's written by John Prine. It's a tune called Paradise. And this song came to mind when I started hearing about all the troubles they were having down in the Gulf of Mexico with the oil spill down there. It goes something like this. I was a child, my family would travel down to western Kentucky where the paradise lay. To a backwards old town that's often remembered so many times that my memories were warm. Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? I'm sorry, my son, you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. Sometimes we'd travel right down the Green River to abandon old prison down by Adre Hill, where the air smelled like snakes and we'd shoot with our pistols, but empty pop bottles is all that we'd kill. And Daddy, won't you take me down to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? I'm sorry, my son, you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. The company came with the world's largest shovel. They tortured the timber, they stripped all the land. They dug with their shovels till the ground was forsaken. They wrote it all down as the progress of man. Daddy, won't you take me down to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lays? Sorry, my son, you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. When I die, let my ashes flow down the Green River. Let my soul flow over the Rochester Dam. I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise waiting just 5 miles away from wherever I am. And Daddy, won't you take me down to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lays? Well, I'm sorry, my son, you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's cold train has hauled it away. Thank you.
Are you having an all right time? Can we coax Charlie to do one more? One more encore song?
I got time for one more. Gonna do a little toe tapper that Simon and Garfunkel did. This is about some kids that were just having a good time with some hijinks, kind of a neighborhood type thing. Neighbors again here. It's called Me and Julio. Mama Pajama rolled out of bed, went down to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout, started the investigation. It was against the law. What the mama saw was against the law. What the mama saw. Well, a mama looks down and spits on the ground every time my name gets mentioned. And Papa says, oh, you're gonna get that boy, put him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way, I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way, taking my time, but I can't say when. Goodbye, Rosie, Queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Goodbye, Rosie, Queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Me and Julio down by the schoolyard. In a couple of days they come and take me away, but the press let the story leak. Then I got my release from a radical priest. He's all in a cover of Newsweek. Well, I'm on my way, I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way, taking my time, but I can't say when. Goodbye, Rosie, Queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Charlie Warner on Over Thank the you. Back Fence. You're listening to Over the Back Fence live from the Commonwealth Theater in beautiful downtown Lanesboro on KFIL Preston 1060 AM and Chatfield 103.1 FM. Coming up in the second half of our show, we'll feature the song stylings of Carolyn Freeze, plus a brand new installment of Days of Our Roadsboro. Over the Back Fence is underwritten by Houston Dental Clinic, where your smile makes them happiest, and sponsored by Pedal Pushers Cafe,
Coffee Street Fitness,
The Cottage House Inn,
Rhino's Pizza and Sub Shop,
Los Gables,
Stone Mill Suites,
Olivia's Attic,
Lanesboro Local Market,
Mannion and Wheelock Attorneys,
The Little River General Store,
Riverside on the Root Restaurant,
the Lanesboro Lions Club,
Preston Apple and Berry Farm,
the Rochester Post Bulletin,
and Associated Bank of Lanesboro. We invite you to come down and join us live Sundays at 7 p.m. Or if you can't, listen at home at 1060 on your AM or 103.1 on your FM radio dial, or online at overthebackfence.org. You can listen to this week's show, past shows, listen to them live right on the site, download them onto your wow. favorite MP3 player, play them while you're out on the trail.
Sure, that sounds like a great idea.
Play them while you're in your backyard with your neighbor. Do you get along well with your neighbors? I suppose I shouldn't ask you that live on the air.
Probably shouldn't, should you? But yes. Yes, I do.
That's always wonderful.
Occasionally, his cow will be in my driveway, but that's not a problem.
Other than, what, you get the fresh milk that way?
Sure.
Yeah. I
had a great hamburger this morning. Yeah.
The hamburger is like, my coffee's a little, there we go. No, I have a wonderful neighbor. Actually, I have glamorous Glenn Jensen as a neighbor. And you know what the best part about having Glenn Jensen is? Everybody should live next to Glenn Jensen because he likes to mow.
Oh, really?
He likes to mow.
And how much does he like to mow?
He likes to mow and will just, you know, kind of just, he once he gets going, he'll like do the whole block.
Wow.
He'll just from one end to the other, up and down. Once he gets going, wow. he just goes. He's just, so it's a.
There's
it's really
a house
great.
For sale on my block, Glenn. Can probably work something out.
Well, continuing with our neighbor's show, and we have now at the microphone one of our wonderful songstresses on Over the Back Fence, Carolyn Fries. Carolyn Fries on Over the Back Fence. You know, it's our neighbor show on Over the Back Fence, and Damon, this is actually a big day.
It really is, isn't it?
July 11th, 2010. As some of you may know, I picking up the papers or on the TV news. Today is the 50th anniversary of the publication of what I personally think is one of the greatest books ever written, and certainly one of the greatest American books.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Ever. But and running a close second would be To Kill a Mockingbird, Harper Lee's story of growing up in the South. And this is, I mean, this is definitely at the top of my list of favorite books. And by show of applause, how many people in the audience have read this book, have read To Kill a Mockingbird? Oh, that's great. That's great. If you haven't read it, if you haven't read it for a while, I mean, definitely take it out. It'd be well worth a good summer's read. And I just thought, in honor of its 50th anniversary of publication, that I would read just a little bit to you, especially as we're thinking about neighbors.
Sure.
And how neighbors get along. So the story of the book, if you don't know it, is told by Scout Finch. Who's the daughter of a local lawyer, Atticus Finch. And Scout is telling the story about her and her older brother, Jim, growing up alone with their dad. And in this part of the story, the two kids have been at home, and a mad dog, Stray, has come down the street. And the housekeeper, Calpurnia, has called the sheriff and has called their dad to come and deal with it. So Atticus and the sheriff, Mr. Heck, are on the scene, and the streets are deserted. Everyone is staying safely locked inside of their house while Atticus and Mr. Heck face off on the dog. So the dog reached the side street that ran in front of the Radley place, and what remained of his poor mind made him pause and seem to consider which road he would take. He made a few hesitant steps and stopped in front of the Radley gate. Then he tried to turn around but was having difficulty. Atticus said, "He's within range, Heck. You better get him now before he goes down the side street. Lord knows who's around the corner. Go inside, Cal." Calpurnia opened the screen door, latched it behind her, then unlatched it and held on to the hook. She tried to block Jem and me with her body, but we looked out from beneath her arms. "Take him, Mr. Finch." Mr. Tate handed the rifle to Atticus. Jem and I nearly fainted. "Don't waste time, Heck," said Atticus. "Go on." "Mr. Finch, this is a one-shot job." Atticus shook his head vehemently. "Don't just stand there, Heck. He won't wait all day for you." "For God's sake, Mr. Finch, look where he is. Miss, and you'll go straight into the Radley house. I can't shoot that well, and you know it." "I haven't shot a gun in 30 years. Mr. Tate almost threw the rifle at Atticus. "I'd feel mighty comfortable if you did now," he said. In a fog, Jem and I watched our father take the gun and walk out into the middle of the street. He walked quickly, but I thought he moved like an underwater swimmer. Time had slowed to a nauseating crawl. Atticus pushed his glasses to his forehead. They slipped down, and he dropped them in the street. In the silence, I heard them crack. Atticus rubbed his eyes and chin. We saw him blink hard. In front of the Radley gate, the dog had made up what was left of his mind. He had finally turned himself around to pursue his original course straight up our street. He made two steps forward, then stopped and raised his head. We saw his body go rigid. With movements so swift they seemed simultaneous, Atticus's hand yanked a ball-tipped lever as he brought the gun to his shoulder. The rifle cracked. The dog leaped, flopped over, and crumpled on the sidewalk in a brown and white heap. He didn't know what hit him. Mr. Tate jumped off the porch and ran to the Radley place. He stopped in front of the dog, squatted, turned around, and tapped his finger on his forehead above his left eye. "You were a little to the right, Mr. Finch," he called. "Always was," answered Atticus. "If I'd had my druthers, I'd take a shotgun." He stooped and picked up his glasses, ground the broken lenses to powder under his heel, and went to Mr. Tate and stood looking down at the dog. "I'll have Zeebo collect him," Mr. Tate said. "You haven't forgot much, Mr. Finch. They say it never leaves you." Atticus was silent. "Atticus?" said Jem.
"Yes."
"Nothing."
"I saw that one shot, Finch."
Atticus wheeled around and faced Miss Maudie. They looked at one another without saying anything, and Atticus got into the sheriff's car. "Come here," he said to Jem. "Now don't you go near that dog, you understand? Don't go near him. He's just as dangerous dead as alive." Miss Monty grinned wickedly at my brother and me. "Well, now, Miss Jean Louise," she said, "still think your father can't do anything? Still ashamed of him?"
"No'm," I said meekly.
Jem became vaguely articulate. Did you see him, Scout?
Did you see him just standing there, and all of a sudden he just relaxed all over, and it looked like that gun was a part of him, and he did it so quick, like I have to aim for 10 minutes before I can hit anything. Forgot to tell you the other day that beside playing the Jew's harp, Atticus Finch was the deadest shot in Macomb County in his time. Dead shot, echoed Jem. He never said anything about that. He never said anything about it, did he? No, ma'am. Wonder why he never goes hunting now, I said. Maybe I can tell you, said Miss Maudie. Maybe your father, if your father's anything, he's civilized in his heart. Marksmanship's a gift of God, a talent. Oh, you have to practice to make it perfect, but shooting's different from playing the piano or the like. I think maybe he put his gun down when he realized that God had given him an unfair advantage over most living things. I guess he decided he wouldn't shoot till he had to. And he had to today. Looks like he'd be proud of it, I said. People in their right minds never take pride in their talents, said Miss Maudie. When we went home, I told Jim we'd really have something to talk about at school on Monday. Jim turned on me. Don't say anything about it, Scout, he said. What? I certainly am. Ain't everybody's daddy the deadest shot in Macomb County? Jim said, I reckon if he'd wanted us to know, he'd have told us. If he was proud of it, he'd have told us. Maybe it just slipped his mind, I said. Nah, Scout, it's something you wouldn't understand. Atticus is real old. I mean, he's 50. But I wouldn't care if he couldn't do anything. I wouldn't care if he couldn't do a blessed thing. Jem picked up a rock and threw it jubilantly at the car house. Running after it, he called back, Atticus is a gentleman, just like me.
Scott Dixon with an excerpt from To Kill a Mockingbird, celebrating the 50th anniversary of its publication.
All right, so now will you please welcome the Over the Back Fence gang, telling us all about the people in your neighborhood.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood? Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood, the people that you meet each day? Oh, the postman always brings the mail, through rain or snow or sleet or hail. He'll work and work the whole day through to get the letter safe to you. Oh, the postman is the person in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. The postman is the person in your neighborhood, a person that you meet each day. Oh, a fireman is brave, it's said. His engine is a shiny red. If there's a fire anywhere about, well, he'll be sure to put it out. Oh, a fireman is a person in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. And a postman is a person in your neighborhood. They're the people that you meet when you're walking down the street. They're the people that you meet each day.
The Over the Back Fence gang introducing you to all the people in your neighborhood. And now the Commonwealth Theater Radio of the Air presents another installment of Forrest Musselman's Days of Our Roadsboro.
Like neighbors through an hourglass, so are the days of our Roadsboro. When we last left Roadsboro, the local grocery store had closed, leaving the tourists and locals alike to fend for food, relying heavily on the homemade lunch meat supplied by Jim Daniels. Over at the Old Village Harlot Restaurant and Pub, Lolly Local, our local heroine, found herself face to face with an old acquaintance. Please join us now, for these are the days of our Roadsboro. Over at the local radio station, KYLE, it was the time for the Poetry Hour, a concept the station ripped off from National Public Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Mona Tone, and this is the Poetry Hour, brought to you in part by Bullship Trucking. When you hear the semi rumbling through Roadsboro late at night, you know it's bullship. Bullship Trucking for all your cattle needs. I thought today we would celebrate neighbors, and a perfect way to do that is to start the program with a poem, Mending Wall, by Robert Frost. And here to help discuss the poem are two neighbors that we're all familiar with, Lars Larson and Olaf Olsen. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no problem then.
Now, you two have been neighbors for quite some time.
Yeah, all our life, right, Olaf?
You know it, Lars.
So I'm sure you've had to deal with fencing issues throughout the years.
Yeah, there's been a couple times.
Then I'm sure you'll have some personal insight into this poem. It begins, "Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that sends the frozen ground swell under it, and spills the upper boulders in the sun, and makes gaps even two can pass abreast."
Whoa, hang on, dear.
Gee, I don't know many stone fences with breasts on them, Den.
Yeah, what kind of fences has this guy got, Den?
Meanwhile, over at the old village harlot, Lolly Local stood face to face with someone she hadn't seen in quite some time.
Chef, you're back.
Yeah, it's always had a bit of a hump in it.
No, I mean you've returned.
I guess I have.
Where were you?
A lot of places, Lolly. It's a bit of a long story, so I'll just skip to the ending. I can't stop thinking about you, Lolly. You sit better with me than any meal ever has.
Oh, Chef.
So if it means that I gotta continue cooking in this crap hole of a town and receive no recognition for my artistic genius, then so be it. As long as I can be near you, I'll be a happy man.
But I have a kid. And Dish Dog is the father.
Are you still with him?
No, we're just friends, but...
Then I don't care, Lolly. I'll do whatever I can to win back your heart.
I'm not sure you can, Chef. When you left me, you hurt me bad.
I made you some of my famous cheesecake. You know the kind with the chunks of dark chocolate and my secret sauce?
Keep talking. I'll get a knife.
Meanwhile, back at the radio station... Mona had managed to suppress Olaf and Lars's giggles and had moved on to the next section of the program.
So as I just read, the narrator of the poem meets his neighbor to begin putting rocks back on the wall. The narrator asks the neighbor why they continue to fix the wall, and the neighbor replies that good fences make good neighbors.
Yeah, I've heard that saying before, Den.
Yeah, just like the other saying that goes, lazy farmers make good fences.
Apparently, these two didn't make a good fence if they're fixing it all the time.
Yeah, who the heck wants to make a fence out of rock?
Gentlemen, if I could continue. The poem reads, "Why do they make good neighbors? Isn't it where there are cows?"
What kind of cows, then?
May I finish the section, please?
Oof, duh. Finish her up, then.
Thank you. But here there are no cows. Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out. And to whom I was like to give offense.
Yeah, but he's got that wrong. You don't give offense to anybody. Technically, by the law there, you got to split the cost of defense with the neighbor, and then you both sort of own it, so...
Yeah, where's this guy living anyway?
The line was, give offense, with an O. Although Frost probably intended the pun. Nice catch.
What the heck is a pun?
Never mind. The narrator is questioning the purpose of the wall. If there are no cows, then why put up a fence in the first place? Is he trying to isolate himself? Could the fence upset his neighbor?
Hey, yeah, that reminds me of the time when you built that fence there, back on the South 40. What was the point of that one? You never run cows back there.
No, but you were running yours on the other side, and I was sick of your cows eating my corn then. That's why I put up the fence.
I never run no cows over there, and you know it.
Oh, then who the heck did, then?
Heck, if I know.
You did, you lying Scandahoovian, and you still owe me half the money for that fence.
I ain't paying you for a fence that don't work, then. My cows get through it all the time.
Aha! You just admitted that those cows are yours, then.
Gentlemen, please, this is about poetry, not fighting over fences.
Well, you're the one that brought it up in the first place.
Yeah, why did you bring up the fence? We was getting along just fine.
While Mana tried to smooth things over, back at the restaurant, Chef and Lale were continuing their conversation over cheesecake.
So are we going to get back together or what?
You can't just show up and think things will be all better with a little cheesecake.
A little cheesecake? You ate the whole thing.
Yeah. What makes you think you'll be able to start working here again anyway?
Are you kidding? I'm the best chef this restaurant ever had. Who's cooking now?
Dish Dog and my kid, Hibiscus.
Hibiscus? How old is that kid anyway?
11, but a very old 11.
Where are they? In the kitchen?
No one is here except me. We haven't had much business.
Where's
lately.
Don, the owner?
No one knows. Haven't seen him for weeks.
Well, come on. We've got some work to do. Where's my kilt?
Meanwhile, over at the depths of hell bed and breakfast, Dracula was packing a small suitcase and his evil assistant, Shackle, watched on.
Where are you going, my dark prince?
It's all about my next evil plan to destroy Roadsboro, my pet.
I thought you said Roadsboro would destroy itself by closing the grocery store.
Apparently it's not working. I guess the town is content with buying lunch meat from Jim Daniels and $10 gallons of milk from the gas station.
So what is your plan?
I'm heading south for a while. There's something deep in the heart of Mexico that I need. Something that will finish off Roadsboro once and for all.
Oh, what is it?
It is my most evil plan of all, Shackle. I'm going to Mexico to get...
I'm sorry, we've run out of time. Join us next time to find the answers to these boiling questions. Will the chef get the restaurant back on its feet? Will he win the love of Lolly? What is Dracula's new evil plan? Will Olaf and Lars ever be invited back to the Poetry Hour? For these answers and more, stay tuned, for these are the days of our Roadsboro.
The Commonwealth Radio Theater of the Air, Days of Our Roadsboro by Forrest Musselman. Well, Damon, we're coming down to the end of our show, the end of our neighbor show here on Over the Back Fence.
I'm moving out.
You're moving out, moving on up, moving through, moving,
sure.
Yeah, moving sideways, moving diagonally. And we're going to present our final sing-along. So, audience members, you'll notice in your program you have the words to this wonderful tune, if you don't know it already.
There's a time in each year that we always hold dear, good old summertime, with the birds and the trees and sweet scented breezes. When your day's work is over, then you are in clover, and life is one beautiful rhyme. No trouble annoying, each one is enjoying the good old summertime.
Everybody! That's been our show this week. Can we get another round of applause for our special musical guest, Charlie Warner? Our youth musical guest, Emily and Molly Sir. This week's poet laureate, Bonnie Hulsing. The Over the Back Fence Gang. Executive producer, Captain Bob Petrillo. His assistant, glamorous Glenn Jensen. His assistant, marvelous Maddie Halligan. Internet guru, jazzy Jason Underhearth. Artistic director, Stella Burt. My co-host, Damon Prestaman.
And let's hear it for the host of Over the Back Fence, Scott Dixon.
Join us next week. It'll be our storm show here live at the Commonwealth Theater at 7 p.m. or tune in on 1060 a.m. or 103.1 FM or online at overthebackfence.org. Thank you, everyone.